Welcome to this episode of the Mind of the Escapist podcast. This is a podcast centered around film, video games, television, anime, and more. I am your host, Terrell. In today's episode, I'm going to talk about Dead Space. Now, I'm very excited to talk about Dead Space. The reason being, if anyone who knows me personally, you know this already, Dead Space is one of my favorite video games of all time. It's one of those video games that I have a very strong nostalgic connection to because of the time and the age in which I played it, and it's always just lasted in memory, and I've always regarded it very highly in the landscape of video games and in the landscape of just horror experiences, especially ones that I personally experienced from that younger age. Now, it had been near enough a decade since I had played the game, but I decided with EA's Dead Space remake on the horizon, which is literally dropping in less than one day, I'm so excited for it, I figured now's the perfect time for me to revisit Dead Space and see if it holds up as well as it does in my memory after all these years. So I initially actually started playing this game back in October of last year because I wanted to play through some horror games around Halloween. And I started it and maybe got a few chapters in, and then I got sidetracked and became very busy with life things and I just didn't fully commit to playing it. But then within the past couple weeks, I got back on it, continued where I left off, and I literally just beat the game half an hour ago on the PS3. And now I want to talk about it because I've got a lot to talk about this game. And I've never spoken about it, whether it be through YouTube or by any other means, in great detail. I've always written tweets about the game, but never spoken about it in great detail. So I'm excited to really do that because there's a lot of reasons why this game is special to me. And I have to say, I haven't done my episode of my most anticipated games of this year yet, but that remake is definitely right near the top because I just can't wait to see how they remake and rebirth this classic game using the new hardware and the updated technology. Very excited to see how that goes down. But let me give you some history on Dead Space and why I love the game and why I have that initial connection with the game. The game was released in 2008. And around that time, when it actually launched, I would have been 14 years old, I believe. Potentially actually 13. I think I was 13 at the time, actually. I hadn't turned 14 yet. So I was 13 when the game released. And I remember my dad purchasing the game around about the time that it was launched. And I remember seeing him play it in little gaps, in little phases. So I didn't sit and watch him play the whole game, but you know, every now and again I'd maybe come pass through the house and see him playing the game and just stop and watch a little bit of it. And it just intrigued me from that point. But I didn't really know the full scope of what this game was or what the story was or even what the gameplay was truly like, but I'd just seen glimpses of it and it intrigued me being a young horror fan. And this is another reason why this game connects with me so well, is horror is my favourite genre. And at a very young age, I got into horror. So from like the ages of 8 to 12, I really started to explore the horror genre. And that began with me watching, you know, loads of horror films on late night television when I wasn't supposed to be. And from there, I started getting DVD box sets of horror films and things like that and different franchises and really started to delve in and explore the horror genre. And that's when my love really began for the horror genre. So it started very early on in my life, compared to the age rating on a lot of these horror experiences and horror films. And what I'll say about Dead Space is it came a little later within that phase because, like I said, I was 13 when it came out, and by the time I actually started playing the game, I was 14/15. So it came at the later end of my kind of early phases of exploring horror. But for me, it is the video game equivalent of what a lot of those early horror films I saw were. So in the sense that it wasn't the first horror video game I had ever played, but it certainly was one of the most memorable and one of the first ones that I got truly absorbed by and really kind of fell in love with from start to finish. So that's why I have such a strong memory of the game, in particular with it being a horror game and how it compares to my experiences with horror films at that time, and then it being the like first major horror release that I really got, you know, absorbed by. So I feel like it's my generation's major horror title. I had played Resident Evil even before I had played Dead Space, but Resident Evil was always a generation ahead of me, really, because I remember seeing Resident Evil, like, even on the PS1, the original game, and seeing my dad play parts of that. But I was very, very young. So too young to play it and too young to really comprehend what that game was doing at that time, because that came out in like the mid to late 90s, and I would have been like less than 6 years old at the time. So even by the time it reached the early 2000s and I was seeing Resident Evil get played, I was still very young to comprehend what that really was. And of course, I then started playing the games after time. So like, as I got older, I started to play those games, but I didn't have that type of nostalgic connection or that childhood connection to Resident Evil, because I never experienced the majority of that franchise as it released. My first Resident Evil game that I purchased myself with my own money and that I like started to play through properly was actually Resident Evil 5, I believe, because I didn't get to Resident Evil 4 until after I had started playing Resident Evil 5. So, and of course, Resident Evil 4 is a game that many consider the greatest horror game of all time, and I certainly consider it to be up there in the top 5. But the reason it's not number one for me is, I think, because I just don't have that nostalgic connection. And I don't even know if Dead Space is number one for me. It might be, but it could be Dead Space 2 as well, because I love that a lot. But yeah, that nostalgic connection is a big deal. And what I will say about the remake that's coming out literally tomorrow: if nostalgia is a drug, from tomorrow onwards, I'm about to overdose. I'm about to overdose on nostalgia playing this Dead Space remake, and I really can't wait to play it because of that. Now, as I was saying, my dad played that game in 2008. I'd seen glimpses of him playing it, and for whatever reason, I didn't get into it at that time. But it wasn't until 2009, and I remember the years. I do remember the years in my head, but I went back through my trophy information on PlayStation just to double check. And it wasn't until 2009, almost a full year after the release of the game, that I then started to play it myself. And funnily enough, this is something I didn't remember, but my trophy information notified me. I didn't actually finish the game in one, like, full playthrough over a span of time, over a short span of time. I had got a handful of chapters into the game, and for some reason, I can't remember why, I stopped and didn't play it for a whole year. And then it wasn't until around May of 2010 when I picked back up from where I left off and then finished the game. So I actually played the game. It took me a span of about 1 year to actually beat the game from the time I started it. And like I said, I can't remember why that was. I must have got distracted by something. But yeah, I didn't remember that. So if it wasn't for the trophy information, I wouldn't have remembered. And that is one reason why I love trophies. Aside from the actual element of collecting trophies and having your trophy collection, which is quite addictive, and for an OCD person it's quite a nice thing to have, but I also love the timestamps you get with trophies, because I think it's a great nostalgic thing to look back on in the sense of gaming. And there's not many things within gaming that can really, that you really have to look back on in that sense, so I do appreciate trophies a lot because of that. But what I remember most about Dead Space in terms of the experience I had back then was just being 14/15 years old. So when I initially started the game, and the period of time that I played the game initially, I would have been 14. And then by the time I picked back up and played the game to its completion, I would have been 15. So across those 2 years, or those 2 ages of 14 and 15, I just have vivid memories of being up late night, sat in my bedroom, pitch black in the dark, playing this game, fully absorbed by it and immersed, and it being a very freaky and scary game and a scary experience. And what I'll say, having played the game over the past couple weeks again, is you can always tell, or I can always tell, when I'm playing a true classic, because you just get lost in the experience all over again. And not lost in a literal way, but more so absorbed by the greatness of it. And that's how I felt playing Dead Space again over these past couple weeks, just fully immersed. And for me, as I've got older, I do find at times when it comes to video games, my attention span starts to slip. So if the game's not really engaging me, I will get distracted by whether it's my phone or something else, and I won't have like continuously long extended periods of time where I'm just playing the game with no breaks. I usually sometimes take breaks a lot. And with this game, it was quite different. Like I was less distracted, and I was playing through like individual chapters in one sitting. And that's how I was getting through the game. And that was telling me that I was really engaged with it. I was very impressed playing through it this time again. What I'll have to say about the game is, even till this day, 15 years later, it's been 15 years, which is crazy in itself to comprehend, but it's been 15 years since Dead Space released. And even till this day, it remains graphically impressive, especially when you consider the time that it came out. Because this wasn't even like an end of generation PS3 title. This was actually an early PS3 Xbox 360 title. This came out in 2008. The PS3 came out, you know, across the world at the end of 2006, in Europe in 2007. So this was only the following year after that. And this game, having played it now, I have to say, I haven't played a lot of games from that generation in a long time. But based on my memory, this has to be one of the best looking games of its time. And maybe even the generation itself. Because I was genuinely shocked at how well it holds up from a visual standpoint. It should not look as good as it does running at 1080p on an OLED in 2023. When it came out in 2008. And I think anyone that plays the game now will be shocked at the visual fidelity of the game and how well it actually looks. And how well it runs to a certain degree. Of course, it runs at 30 frames a second on PS3. There are some frame drops here and there. But it is still quite a smooth experience given the time and given the resolutions that it was running on for that time. Because I was playing it directly on a PS3. So I wasn't playing it on PC or anything like that. I was playing it on a PS3. And I was quite impressed with the performance side of it. But also in terms of gameplay, the game holds up tremendously well. Now, one of the things that stands out about this game, and I think this is an element of horror fiction in general, whether you're reading a book, whether you're watching a film, whether you're playing a video game, you got to have some memorable moments, you know? And, you know, sometimes those memorable moments in horror are directly tied to the scares. Sometimes they're tied to just a feeling that it invokes within you. And this game's filled with them. And there are, now it's been 15 years, I'm comfortable calling them iconic moments of this game. And, you know, arguably iconic moments of video games in general. But the opening necromorph attack in this game. So, in fact, before I get into it, to give you a quick overview of what the story of this game is in terms of the premise, is you play an engineer named Isaac Clarke, who's basically sent to this ship called the USG Ishimura, and you're sent there on just a routine mission, but once you arrive, you realize things have gone awry, and essentially there are these creatures, people that, you know, crew members have transformed into these creatures called necromorphs, and they're attacking, and then there's this whole other element to the story and this whole mystery that there is to work out, which kind of leads down the path of kind of cultism and religion and things like that in some interesting ways. And the very first necromorph attack is iconic, and that still is a very memorable moment. Like, that's one of the things when I think of Dead Space, and prior to playing it again, that was one of the things that I immediately thought of, was that opening sequence. And it's very effective at introducing you to the necromorphs and having a very memorable sequence that's quite pulse pounding, especially when you play it for the first time, and that held up very well. There is another iconic moment which I love, which I had actually kind of forgotten about until it started to happen, and I was like, oh yeah, there's this moment. There's a scene where you're walking through the corridors and you hear this loud banging noise, but you don't know what it is. And once you reach the other room, you realize it's just someone stood facing like this glass wall, and they're just back and forth pounding their head against the wall as blood's splatting all over the wall. And then they eventually die and just drop down. And it happens quite early on in the game, but it's a very nerve-wracking and unsettling moment, and very foreboding moment. of the game. And there's loads of little moments like that throughout where there's just little brief, I don't even want to call them set pieces, but just brief moments that are littered throughout the game that stand out and kind of almost send chills down your spine. Now, the actual gameplay design, I think, is something that still holds up well and amplifies the scares in this game to a great degree. Because, interestingly enough, the game does have like a traditional level structure. It's not open-ended. If you think of something like Resident Evil, where you've got the mansion and you kind of got backtracking involved and the freedom to move around where you want to as you unlock different parts of the mansion, this game doesn't have it in the same way. There is subtle parts, subtle moments of backtracking, but it's all linear. So you don't get to really choose to go back to, say, where you were on the first mission or the first chapter. You'll only go back there when the story directs you back there through a particular chapter. Now, this is something that I've heard. I've actually purposely stayed away from a lot of the information and clips from the remake because I just want to go into it fresh and be surprised. But I have heard that's one of the things they changed in the remake, is they've now opened it all up to the point where the whole ship is kind of free to move around. So once you unlock different areas, you can then backtrack at will to certain areas of the ship, which will, I think, will change the dynamic of the game in a very interesting way. But the way they construct the levels in this game is very linear, and the corridors are very tight and claustrophobic, and that really adds to the sense of dread and to the atmosphere and to the scares and the tension overall in the game. And it works wonders for this game, just having those narrow corridors where you feel like you're barely squeezing through these corridors and you don't know what's around the other corner. And the way that they implement jump scares and just certain reveals and the way that certain necromorphs attack you from certain angles and things like that, and the surprises that they pack in, is really effective, and it still holds up really really well even now. And what I like about the ship as well, just as a whole, I think this is an element of horror storytelling once again, that, you know, some of the greatest horror stories that have ever been told, depending, you know, regardless of whichever medium, they have locations that are basically characters, locations that are so important to the story and the overall feel of the experience that they're essentially characters. They become a character of their own. So like I said, Resident Evil and the Spencer Mansion, that's one of them. The village within Resident Evil 4, that's another. The Nostromo in the Alien franchise, that's one of them. Those are examples. You know, the Overlook Hotel in The Shining, that's another one. Just certain locations that are iconic within themselves and become iconic and become larger than just a location in a story. They become like a character. And I'd say the Ishimura ship in Dead Space is an example of that. It's a character of its own. And that's why I think it's so exciting to hear that in the remake, they've kind of opened it up to the point where you can freely move around it at will, because it is such an integral part to the story. To give you that freedom to move around it, I think is going to create a very unique dynamic compared to the original, but a very positive one for this remake that they're doing. But you traverse through the ship in this game, mission to mission, chapter to chapter, through this tram. So this is where I was saying you don't get the freedom to move around at will. You use the tram to get around, and sometimes at certain chapters the tram might bring you back to a location you've already been to, and that's the only way you kind of backtrack. But the level design anyway, and how it has that traditional feel of a traditional level, but the way that the tram kind of interconnects it all, I think actually holds up better than I thought it might have for this game. Now, in terms of enemies, I was actually surprised how many and how varied the enemy design is in this game. I remember there being a lot of them, but there was even more than I remembered. And there were certain reveals for the... And in fact, this is something I love about this game. Every time a new enemy... And, you know, this is quite a traditional thing for video games in general, to be honest. But in this game, it sticks out and they do it so well. Every time they introduce a new enemy type, you get almost like a brief set piece to showcase it, whether it's showcasing that enemy for the first time kill someone, or the enemy just kind of emerging in front of you and you being confused and scared because you haven't seen it before. And there's so many moments like that with every single reveal of the enemies that is just so impressive even now. And I was very impressed just with the variety of enemies. And this is what makes the gameplay of the game so good, is it makes you have to be very... very assured with your choices, especially if you're playing on harder difficulties and you've got lower ammo. You've got to be very assured with your choices in terms of how you're going to tackle these enemies, because certain enemies can be defeated in certain ways with certain weapons, certain tactics, shooting certain areas. One big factor of the Dead Space franchise, which I don't want to say they introduced this, but they definitely, if they didn't introduce it, they definitely kind of evolved it in terms of a gameplay mechanic, which is the dismemberment. So the whole thing with this game is, in terms of taking down the necromorphs, you can shoot their limbs off and kind of destabilize them that way. Some enemies, you know, you slow them down by taking their legs off, and then they start crawling across the ground towards you, and you can stamp on their head and kill them that way. There's loads of different ways you can take down these enemies, which is great in itself, but then when you add the enemy variety on top and the different ways these enemies force you to engage in certain gameplay elements to take them down, it really does make it really fun and engaging to play, and it still holds up greatly even now. And the designs on these enemies are fantastic, and the movements, and you know, there's a lot of intricate things they've done with these enemy types to make them feel unique, play in a force you to play in a unique way, but then also scare you in interesting ways as well. There's one that looks like the front of it looks like a saber-toothed tiger kind of thing on the front. This is going to sound very weird, but the front of it almost looks like a saber-toothed tiger, but then it runs on two limbs. So it kind of has like two limbs and a tail, and the way it runs, it kind of perks itself up with its arms extended and just runs at you in this really kind of jerky motion with its two limbs. And it's very jarring, but it's almost very frightening because of how uncanny it is. It just looks so bizarre when you see that thing just appear and then start running at you in that motion. It will startle you, you know, and it's a great enemy design. You've got one enemy type that's a regenerative one, eventually got the word out, that can't be killed in a traditional way. So it forces you to then look at your environment to try and find a way to kill it. And if there isn't a way within the environment to kill it, you simply got to evade it and run away. And interestingly enough, I haven't reviewed the Callisto Protocol yet, which was made by one of the creators of Dead Space. I've got a lot to say on that game, because it was kind of made in the image of Dead Space. There are enemy types in the Callisto Protocol that pretty much do the same thing, the whole regenerating limbs type thing, but they do it so much better in Dead Space, and the creatures feel much more of a threat in Dead Space. But there are some interesting ways you can get rid of them. One of them, there's this like little chamber in the room that you're fighting it in. So you've got these powers in Dead Space. You've got stasis ability, where you can literally kind of like slow down time on an enemy. You can like throw the stasis at them and it'll slow down time. And you've also got like kinetic energies where you can move things about. So what you do is you essentially allow that creature to chase you. You stand in that little chamber, freeze it, and then what you can also do is you can shoot the limbs off this creature, and that'll slow it down because it takes some time to regenerate those limbs and get back up. So you can shoot all the limbs off whilst it's in this chamber, freeze it so it slows down time, and then run over to the control panel and activate this chamber, and it essentially creates this airflow that then shoots the creature up into like a different part of the ship. And that's one way you can dispatch them. Another one, you're by this ship and you've got these controls that can control the engine boosters on the ship. And if you run behind the ship, do the same thing, slow down time on the creature whilst it's behind the ship, run to the control panel, you turn on the engine boosters, and it, you know, the exhaust like literally fries the enemy and it kills it. Those are examples of how you can take down that enemy. You've got different creature designs. There's this really tall, skinny kind of tall one that's like wearing a lab coat, which is very freaky because as soon as you shoot it, it kind of starts to disperse into what I can only describe as creatures that are inspired by The Thing, where you like get his head and it's got like almost spider legs that move around, and all his different limbs have like spider legs attached that move around, and then you've got to shoot those. Very creepy. And that's another thing, this game wears its influences on its sleeve. You know, there's influences from Event Horizon, you know, in terms of the psychology of being stuck in space and what that does to your mind and the whole hell aspect of it. You've got influences from Alien, of course, The Thing, Resident Evil, which was a key inspiration in terms of video game design. Resident Evil 4 was like the basis for this game. That was the direct inspiration. The creators have said it. So there's a lot of influences within it. So as a horror fan, there's a lot in there for you to chew on and for you to notice. There's loads of other enemy types. There's these like baby type ones that have these like tendril tentacle things that come off their back that shoot projectiles at you. There's these big ones that run at you and you can shoot their legs off and then like shoot the head off and you'll kill them. But if you just shoot them directly in their massive stomachs, they'll break apart and then all these little creatures come out and they're quite hard to handle. So you're better off, you know, strategically taking their legs off and things like that. And that's what I like about the game in terms of the gameplay, is it's really engaging because there's so many different enemy types and so many different ways to tackle different enemies. It just keeps you, it keeps every encounter feeling fresh and different and keeping you from feeling like you're going through a repetitive phase or that it's getting a bit boring and monotonous because you're constantly having to think on the fly of how to take down a particular enemy in a particular situation. And I think the game does a real good job at that. And I'm once again really excited to see how these enemy types are translated to the remake. And I don't know, they might even make new enemy types in the remake. I have no idea. But I'm just intrigued to see how it all translates using the modern updated technology. Something else I think Dead Space doesn't get enough credit for is, in my opinion, I think it has one of the most diverse and fun to use arsenals of weaponry in gaming history. Like, the different types of weapons you get here, they're all very unique and they're very sci-fi focused and very interesting. Annoyingly enough, because I'd almost platinum this game back when I played it originally, like in 2009/2010, I think I was left on like 80% trophy completion. One of the trophies I had left to do was to beat the entire game using only the plasma cutter weapon, which is the first weapon you get, which is one of the best anyway. So I was doing that on my playthrough that I just did. So I didn't actually get to play about with the weapons this time round in my, you know, having revisited the game. I only used the one so I could get that trophy. And I can't remember the ins and outs of all the different weapons you do get. But you get a pulse rifle, which is essentially an assault rifle. I want to say you get this saw weapon. I can't remember how it operates. It's like, I think it's called the line gun. And it shoots saw blades out. That's a cool weapon that you get to use. There's this one called a contact beam, which kind of shoots this beam. There's just loads of different weapons with different alternate shooting types. And just different way. And once again, that kind of varied weapon design goes hand in hand with the varied enemy design and how you've got to tackle these different enemies. And it just really, the gameplay loop in this game, I think, doesn't get enough credit. I don't think it's ever got enough credit for how varied, especially in a horror game, because usually in a horror game you only get kind of standard weapons to play about with, but in this game there's just such a great variety of them. It really deserves a lot of credit. And even playing it now 15 years later, looking back at all the games that have come out since, is still up there with some of the best weaponry. Best weaponry paired with enemy types and enemy designs for gameplay in gaming history, in my opinion. The sound design is something that stands out tremendously well with this game. It's very effective. The game will often overwhelm you with diegetic audio that intensifies the game experience. So there's a lot of mechanical sounds. And this goes in hand with what I said about the ship feeling like a character, because the ship itself feels alive. When you're in that environment, you can hear the creaks of the pipes. You can hear the engine rooms. You know, if there's anything going on in the ship, you hear it all. And you become very immersed in that soundscape that they've created for the ship, and that's what makes it feel so alive and feel like a character of its own. But then the game also has great sound design for the weaponry. They all pack a punch with their sound, and the enemies, very creepy sounds with them, but then also the sounds of you dismembering limbs and blood and all of that just sounds fantastic. And there's a great audio mix, great sound design. But then one of the unique elements of this game and what they do with sound, which I think is extremely effective, is they have these zero gravity moments in the game. And the genius of these zero gravity moments, and there's actually a lot more of them in this first game than I ever remember there being. There's quite a lot of moments where you go zero gravity. But the genius of this gameplay mechanic is, it's where you go into rooms of the ship where the air has been breached. Like, the ship has been breached and there's air within inside. So you go zero gravity and you can kind of float around the rooms. And that changes the gameplay a bit because it slows you down a bit in terms of how you move around. You can't walk onto all the different platforms. Sometimes you have to kind of launch yourself forward and fly until you, or float, shall I say, until you land onto the next part. But what makes, and I wouldn't say that's a puzzle mechanic in the game, But it makes you think about how you have to traverse more than you do when you're just walking throughout the game. But what they do that's really smart within these sequences is the audio is realistically decreased due to the lack of air. So you kind of get this kind of muffled sound. So if you shoot your gun, you can hear it, but it's a very muffled sound because of the lack of air. But then the great thing they do is the creatures themselves, for the most part, you can't hear them at all. So when you're in these zero gravity moments, you can't hear them. And a lot of frightening moments are created out of that, because you'll encounter enemies unsuspectingly because you can't hear them. And you kind of forget how much you rely on your hearing, especially in games like this, to be an indicator of where the enemies are, or if an enemy has just entered the room, something like that. Or even the music sometimes, because I think the music doesn't play up as much in those zero gravity moments, if at all. If I'm remembering it correctly now, I don't even think the music does. I don't think there's any music in the zero gravity moments. So it literally is just sound design, just the muted sound design to simulate the fact that you're in zero gravity and there's no air and no audio. So you'll be walking around, whether it's a corridor or a room or floating around, and you'll turn around and sometimes see an enemy right in your face, and it will startle you because you had no indication or no kind of pre-warning that they were going to be there because you couldn't hear them. And it's really, really effective. And like I said, there's a lot of zero gravity moments in this game, inside and outside of the ship, on the outer edge of the ship, that I thought were just really well done. And once again, it's just an example of elements of the game that I didn't necessarily forget about. I didn't forget about them, but I just forgot how effectively they were done. And I was very impressed having gone back to the game to see how they did implement them. Now, the story of the game overall, like I said, it's very interesting. There's some interesting elements to it. Now, one key thing about this game in particular is the main character doesn't actually speak. So Isaac doesn't speak. Now, of course, there are elements of the game or moments in the game where certain things happen, and you're like, well, if that happened, you're gonna say something, you know? So you kind of got to suspend your disbelief in that sense, that, you know, this person would just remain mute the whole time, given what's going on around him. But it does help with that feeling of isolation within the game. And I think, I could be wrong, but I have a feeling their purpose in doing that was to make you feel more like you were Isaac, by making you assume the avatar, by making him voiceless, and make you kind of project yourself into him in that situation. I think that's why they did it. But in the subsequent games, they added a voice for him. And in the remake, they're actually adding a lot of dialogue throughout the game as you're playing through it as him. So it'll be interesting to see how that changes the game as well. But the story itself, it is very interesting in terms of it has your traditional setup of, you know, landed on the ship, things are going awry, there's creatures, you're now stranded on the ship, you got to get out. But the game does that thing. This was a popular thing back in 2008, and I want to say BioShock was one of the games that popularized this storytelling mechanic, because BioShock came out the year before, and BioShock had audio diaries, and this game has audio diaries. So a lot of the narrative is told through these audio logs that you'll find throughout the ship from the different crew members, and they'll tell you different, you know, plot points, or give you like a backstory of what's been going on, so you get a greater context to everything that's going on around you on this ship, and it really enhances the story, and gives you kind of like a breadcrumb trail of events to follow to get a good understanding of the story and a better understanding of it. And I think those were effective. And you get text logs as well. So you get a few text logs to read, which go through the similar type of thing, but just in text form. And you get a few video clips with some of these logs as well. Or at certain points in the game, they show you clips of past events through surveillance and things like that, which give you good context. So like even the experience of uncovering the mystery and the story, I think, is very engaging in how they do it, especially for its time. And then this game has some very iconic moments in the story. It has a very iconic, a twist ending. The whole game is about you. One of the main objectives of the game is Isaac's partner sends him a video message asking for help. And that's one of the things that drew him to this ship. So he's partly there. One of his personal goals whilst he's there is to actually save his partner. And there's some interesting story developments throughout that. And in terms of what is causing these creatures as well, what's creating them, how they exist, and what's going on with that, and all the religious cultism that's coming along with that. And it's the lore of the game's quite interesting. And like I said, for a game of its time, I think they did do quite a lot very well in that aspect of the game. And one thing I want to quickly mention, I can't speak to my opinion of it because I haven't seen it since back in like 2009, but it makes me remember a lot of weird things happened in that generation of gaming, especially around that time. Because I randomly remember that Dead Space 2 had a multiplayer mode, and that was around that weird time in the PS3 generation where every game seemed to have to come with a multiplayer mode, like a standard. So you then got a period of time where a bunch of games that you wouldn't ever really expect a multiplayer for had it. Dead Space 2 was one of them, Bioshock 2 was one of them. That was just a random thing I remembered. But the other thing I was going to mention is, around the time of this game's release, they released an anime. And I am intrigued to go back and watch it, because I can't remember anything about it. But they released an anime, I think it was only just over an hour long, but an anime film based on this game. And I want to say it was like a prequel or something like that. But they don't really do, well, they're getting back into doing things like that now with, you know, Cyberpunk Edgerunners and The Witcher and things like that. But they need to do more of that, like that cross-promotion type thing with like anime shows. But it's just weird to think that a horror game by EA got an anime show out of it. And I think Dante's Inferno got an anime show as well. Anime film. It's just weird. It was a weird time back then for gaming. There's a lot of experimental things going on. And I think that's why I remember that period of time quite fondly in terms of the gaming industry. But yeah, I've said everything I need to say, really, about the Dead Space game, about the first one at the very least. It's one of my favourite franchises. But that first game, it absolutely holds up. It absolutely holds up. It's absolutely stood the test of time. It stood tall for 15 years and still remains standing tall. And it's absolutely one of my favourite video games of all time. I knew that already, but having just played it recently, within the past couple weeks, my opinion has just been reinforced tenfold. It absolutely is one of my favourite video games of all time. Still not sure about favourite horror of all time. The jury's still out on that. I'm going to have to probably play Dead Space 2 again, because I did love Dead Space 2. And for a long period of time, I think Dead Space 2 was my favourite one out of the franchise. But Dead Space 2 is more action-oriented. So you got a sleeker suit that's faster. You get more kind of assault rifle-like weapons. There's a lot more action set pieces. It's faster pace. So Dead Space 2 is like a... it's almost like the Alien to Aliens of the Dead Space franchise, where the aesthetic of the game and the flow of the game is different to the first. So they kind of complement each other. They're kind of two separate experiences to a degree within the same franchise. So I'd need to play that again to double check if that was my favourite. But Dead Space is without a doubt top 5 horror game of all time in my opinion. And it probably is maybe top 5 video game of all time for me in general, to be honest. If you've never played the game, I mean, if you've still got a 360 or a PS3, there's no harm in getting this game on those consoles and play, or even PC if it's on there, and playing it on those consoles, because like I said, it does hold up tremendously well. But with this remake coming out tomorrow, if you've never played Dead Space and you as so much like horror or are intrigued by horror or just want to try a horror experience on your console, or get into horror, buy that game. Like I said, I don't know how that remake's going to turn out, but if they're remaining faithful to this original game, you know, I think anyone that plays this game for the first time, whether it's the original or the remake, are going to have an absolute blast with it, because it is just one of those classic games. It's one of those games that even if, you know, there's games that I haven't played in their heyday, and I go back to them after all those years and play it for the first time, and you can immediately sense and get a feel for why the games have the reputation that they have. Dead Space is one of them. If you've never played it before, whether you play this remake, because I'm very confident in the remake, or whether you play this original version, you'll immediately start to understand why it's highly regarded in the way that it is. But yeah, that's all I've got to say about Dead Space. It was fun revisiting it. This title of this episode is called Revisiting Dead Space, and I plan to do like a series within the podcast titled Revisiting, where I will be going back and revisiting older films or video games, etc., that I kind of have experienced before, maybe even some that I haven't experienced before, and just reviewing them with like nostalgic glasses on, and just, you know, going back to the nostalgic things that I like and seeing if they weigh up after all the years. So that's something I plan on doing in future. But I've also got more episodes on the way. I'm going to review the Callisto Protocol very soon. I'm going to do my episode about my most anticipated video games of this year. And of course, I will be reviewing the Dead Space remake when I'm done with it. I may even drop an impressions episode for that, because I'm going to definitely be taking my time with that game, because I'm going to want to play through it thoroughly. But I'm very excited for that. But yeah, thank you for listening to this episode. Whether you listen to the whole thing or little parts of it, I appreciate it in equal measure. Make sure you are following me, whether you're listening through Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Make sure you're following the podcast. Hit that follow button so you don't miss any future episodes. And hit the notification button so you get notified when the new episodes drop. Thank you for listening, and I'll catch you guys very soon.